One, two. Welcome to New Horizons 2021. Grace and peace and love from our home to yours. Welcome to worship with Pine Street Church on this Commitment Sunday 2020. And what that means for those of you who are not familiar with Commitment Sunday, it is a time every fall where we come together collect our financial commitments to fund and fuel our ministry for the following year. We are a community of grace and a community of generosity, and all that we do, all that we are, our mission and ministry in our neighborhood, within our church, and globally, happens because of what we commit together as a community of generosity. So thank you in advance for thinking about and praying about what your financial commitment can be with Pine Street Church for 2021 in our corner of the kingdom of God. You have received in the mail, hopefully this week, your commitment card along with a letter from me. And if you haven't received that yet, you will. And so I invite you to mail in that commitment card, if you would, to the church office at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado, or you can go to our website, pinestreetchurch.net/giving, and click on the pledge button on that page, and you can make your financial commitment that way to indicate what you will be able to contribute financially in your tithes and offerings for 2021. It is to the General Ministry Fund, and I've written about that this past week in an email to you and also in that letter. Our financial tithes and offerings go to a general ministry fund that fuels everything that we do in the life of our church, from funding our missionaries and our community partners down the street and around the world, from investing in our staff, for beautifying our buildings and grounds so that we can host once again, hopefully next year, all of the community groups that come through our church, and to bear witness that we are alive and well in the world and reflecting the image of God and the ministry of Christ to the world. So thank you for joining with us. If you have not given to Pine Street Church in the past, you are certainly welcome to do so, and we invite your financial commitment as well for 2021. If you are impacted by this ministry and who we are as a community, I invite you to be part of it. I've talked about that economic maxim, the more we give, the more there is, which is sort of a Captain Obvious statement, but it is true. And our lives are transformed, so many lives are transformed, and I'll be talking about some of that in today's message, about what that financial impact means as you invest not only in Pine Street Church, but as you invest in people's lives, real human lives that are transformed, including your own. So thank you again for your generosity in giving. As always, there are so many ways to connect with the life of our church. Art brunch on Sunday mornings at 9:30, Tuesday morning men's coffee fellowship at 9 a.m., Thursdays 1:30 p.m. Oasis Women's Group. And so those are at least three ways you can connect with the life of our church. I know I say that every week, but it's good to be reminded that we are continuing to be the church in the world and to connect with God and to one another during this pandemic time. I was speaking with Steve Van Ostrand this week, who is the executive minister of our region of ABC USA of the Rocky Mountains, and he talked about how this is a reformation time. And it really is. If we were not in a new reformation before in the church, we certainly are now, adapting and being imaginative about how our ministry and work go on. And it is more important than ever for us to continue to invest in the community that we love and the community that means so much to us. It is a hard time. I understand it is a hard time for you and for many, and we share that in common. You are not alone. And if nothing else, it's important to stay connected during this time of social distancing and doing all that we can so that we can get this pandemic under control, get this COVID-19 under control, and that we can gather once again, hopefully sometime next year. Well, thank you again for your generosity and giving. This is Commitment Sunday. Again, I invite you to mail in your commitment cards to the church at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder. Again, you can go to our website, pinestreetchurch.net/giving, click on the pledge button, and be part of the cause for good, this conspiracy of kindness and generosity that we're all part of because of this unique and special community that we all want to support and that we love. Well, as we come into this time of worship, let us do so with this prayer of welcome and invocation as we consider this third part in our series of New Horizons 2021. My children have created a little message for you. I don't think you can see all of it, but you see some of it. Generosity is made up of kindness and peace. That is the definition that my children have given to what generosity means to them, and you probably have your own one-liner about what generosity means to you. So we'll be talking about that in the message today, and as we do so, let us do so with this prayer. Gracious God, there is no latitude or longitude, no height, no depth by which you do not get to us. And we give you thanks for investing in us, for being a creator, for being someone who is a giver and not a taker. God, teach us this lesson so deeply. Help us to feel it in our blood and in our bones. And as we open our hearts and our minds and our whole beings to you in this time of worship and reflection and inspiration and motivation, rekindle in our hearts an openness to open our hands, to open our hearts and minds, to be conduits of your generosity and goodness and kindness in the world. And we give you thanks that we get to do that through this spiritual community we call Pine Street Church. In the name of the one who inspires us to love and be loved and to share that love with the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's New Testament reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. One of my favorite generosity stories in the New Testament. Hear these astounding words from St. Paul. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For, as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that, as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there might be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. For the word of God in Scripture and for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, we all say, thanks be to God. Well, my friends, what a year it has been. You know, when we started out back in January this year at our church's annual meeting, reviewing 2019, celebrating the highlights of our life together through the past year, hearing committee reports, taking stock of our ministry successes and gains, never could we have known when we were presented and approved our 2021 financial plan for the church, what was to come. And now here we are. We've charted a new course. We've adapted to the most unusual circumstances, the likes that haven't been seen in 100 years with this health pandemic, And we've set sail on new horizons in our families, in our world, in our life together as the people of God. And today we finish this message series about New Horizons 2021, but it's only the beginning of all that God has in mind for us as Jesus followers and as a congregation. This is the time of the year that some call the season of giving, or if you've been around the church for any amount of time, it's one of those things where it's like the hunt for Green October. It's the time of year when we're thinking about our financial commitments, our collective financial commitments to give to God with Pine Street Church for the following year of ministry. So here we are in that moment. Again, if you've been around the church for any amount of time, you go, oh, it's that faith and money moment again. You know, it's like throw in politics and we have the three conversational ingredients that our parents taught us never to talk about. And yet, if we don't talk about it, we miss out on a huge part of Jesus' teaching about what it means to be part of the movement called the Kingdom of God. Now, I say Kingdom of God. It's the Kingdom of God, right? But I like the phrase Kingdom of God. It implies brotherhood and sisterhood, not a monarchical model of God's dreams for us, right? So that's what I mean by that little quick side note. And this is where you and I come in, because we're this, you know, in my words, this sort of eclectic and unique spiritual community called Pine Street Church. And let's face it, we've been given a big dose of imagination this year. I mean, this is what COVID-19, as this sort of forced injection, has given us. We're in a new era, a new time. And it's a time to stretch our imaginations about what we can yet do and who we can yet be. And though we may feel like that meme flying around, maybe you've seen it, that goes, you know, before I agree on 2021, I need to see some terms and conditions first. After all we've seen and been through this year, 2020. I get it. I know that you get it in your own way too. And the other thing besides that big dose of imagination that COVID has given us this year is that it's also reinforced a sort of hoarding mentality. Remember several months ago when we couldn't find toilet paper and hand sanitizer in the grocery store? That was a manifestation, I think, of that contagion of the not enough syndrome that we're all plagued by from time to time. And there it was showing up again, that hoarding mentality, that not enough. I mean, forget about being generous with our money. We as a society couldn't even be generous with sharing our toilet paper, for crying out loud. Fear gripped us. And of course I'm being funny, but my point is that we're always living in this tension between what it feels like to be tight-fisted or open-handed, between clinging to and loosening our grip on what we consider ours or mine, and really coming to grips with how much is enough, really. Here's where I think the church can be at its best, when we see God as the generosity genius and the church as a sort of generosity boot camp, where we can learn and practice what it means to, as we say at Pine Street Church, create more, where we let go of preferring ourselves to indulge in the greater good of providing for others. We have said over and over the last few years that create more, embrace everyone, inspire life, create more, means that we combine our spiritual and financial resources to create more beauty, to create more kindness, to create more compassion, to create more of the best of what God has already invested in us. And that's why we can say that God is a generosity genius. It's the way the world was made. It's the way God set this thing up. It's the way we were made. It's the whole foundation of our faith from the book of Genesis, where we learn that God created humankind in God's image. So in a way, generosity is the way we're wired up from the very beginning of time. Because God generated creation and called it good and put the crown jewel on all God had made by creating humankind in God's image. The world is, we are, because God didn't want to keep all that goodness for herself. There's this great story about this Zen priest and psychologist who went on retreat with a Tibetan Lama who asked a pilgrimage group to engage in a yoga practice by imagining themselves as spiritual masters. What's the point of pretending to be something we're not? Someone from the group asked. The teacher replied, "We spend so much time imagining ourselves to be these little things we tell ourselves we are, it couldn't hurt to spend a little time imagining that we're something bigger." And that's what generosity is about. It's that something bigger, being bigger. It's what St. Paul was trying to get across, I think, in today's New Testament story too. Speaking about a poor church in southern Algeria, Paul says, "Their abundant joy and their extreme poverty." Did you catch that in today's reading? "Their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly," Paul says, "for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord." What do we have here? Well, these are poor people, Paul said, that in the middle of an economic crisis, a financial pandemic, if you will, they felt it was such a privilege to share in this ministry that they gave above and beyond their means. They gave out of their joy and their poverty to a church in Jerusalem who was in need. And Paul says that even though the church in Jerusalem is sure going to be grateful to receive that money, God's grace was poured out on the people that did the giving. In other words, giving their money was serious spiritual business for them. And the beauty of their giving was that Paul didn't have to twist their arms to get them to give. They were, what the text says, begging for the privilege to give because they gave themselves first to the Lord. That is to say that God got their hearts first. God captured their imaginations first, and they dreamed a bigger dream. They understood there was something bigger that they could be part of. And you have maybe heard it said, maybe not, I don't know, give until it hurts. And it's almost like saying, "Now I say unto you, give until it starts to feel good. Give until you start to have fun with it. Until what you know is right in your mind becomes how good it feels in your heart." Generosity begets generosity, which means that our power to act and to create an impact in the world is really unbounded. I mean, it's limited only by our imagination. Sky's the limit. And when it comes to giving, in whatever way, by the way, It's not just financial. Give of yourself, your time, your talent, your treasure, as we often use in church parlance, right? It's not that God needs our money any more than the ocean needs more salt water. It's just that our hearts need to be hushed in wonder at the vastness of the sea. Long before any of us went grabbing for our wallets, God longed for our hearts to be grasped by the vastness of a love that can never be calculated by debits and credits, which makes generosity more a matter of what is in our hearts than what we may or may not have in our bank accounts. My friend George Mason, who was our guest on this week's Hyphenated Life podcast, once said this about today's New Testament text. I want to share it with you. He said, St. Paul didn't mind challenging the Corinthian church by comparing them to the Macedonian church. The Macedonians were poor. The Corinthians, well, they were less poor. Some might say they were rich in certain ways. And yet out of their poverty, the Macedonians begged to be able to contribute to the needs of the suffering saints in Jerusalem. The Corinthians gave what they had to give. They aspired to excel in generosity all the more because of it, because they arguably had more than the church they gave to, yes. It's an age-old problem that plagues us still. The poorer you are, the more you understand need and are eager to give. The richer you are, the more you think the poor should fend for themselves. And it's baffling, really. And I don't mean those in exclusive terms. Obviously, there are exceptions. But if you understand the social dynamics, sometimes that is true. The richer we become, the more we distance ourselves from those who are poorer. Isolation breeds insulation, which chills our compassion and deprives generosity of motive. And that word motive, it's sort of a big deal. I mean, we're all motivated by different reasons to give. And I think it's important to name this. Only you know what motivates you to give. There's this generosity guru named Reuben Swint, and he puts it like this when it comes to how leaders, I mean, people like me, for instance, speak about money and giving. He asks, do they speak as the institution that needs funding to pay its bills? Or community that seeks to meet the wants of its members and participants and prospects? Or movement that intends to change the world by bringing God's kingdom to earth? So are we speaking as institution? Are we speaking as community? Or are we speaking as movement that intends to change the world by bringing God's kingdom to earth? Now, church nerd alert, sometimes the language of stewardship becomes only about giving to an institution so it can pay its bills, make its budget, that sort of thing. And of course, that's part of it. We ought to have healthy institutions and to be good stewards of our institutions, right? But it's only part of it and not all of it. Generosity is bigger than that. It's about deciding what sort of person do I want to be? You know, what sort of person am I right now? What are the areas in my life where I could really grow and excel in the grace of giving? How can I be part of that movement that intends to change the world by bringing God's dreams come true for the world? How different that is, right? Just giving to a budget or giving to an institution versus really seeing generosity as a spiritual practice, deciding what sort of person do I want to be and what do we want to create together out of a spiritual vision. My friends, Jesus didn't just come to found a church. Jesus came to spark a movement. And you and I are part of that movement. We're part of it because we've chosen to give our hearts to something bigger. Bigger than you, bigger than me. And we do this together, not by ourselves, thank God. Which is why being the church together is part of God's generosity genius, I think. It's what some of the Pine Street Church saints I mentioned 2 weeks ago, what they knew and believed in. People like Karen Hadley Dyke and Milton Huffaker and Leo Hill and all the saints alive. Saints alive, that's you and me, here and now. What we can believe in and give to as well. I mean, it's what motivates us to savor worship together the way we do, even when it looks different than it did before, like this. It's what motivates us to send cards and make calls and send texts and do socially distanced visits and seeing how we care for one another, because as much as we could say, oh, well, you know, the church doesn't need me, well, more importantly, someday, you just might need the church at the biggest moments when you don't know where else to turn and when you need community. That is the magic of what church can be personally. And when I think about what we give to God, right, it's what motivates the Oasis Women's Book Group to deliver meals to Attention Homes in Boulder, a local community partner that serves over 12,000 youth ages 12 to 24 in Boulder County who just need a safe place to live and be. It's what motivates us to partner with Community Food Share, with 40 partner agencies that serve our schools and homeless shelters and low-income senior living facilities to make sure that our neighbors don't go hungry and that they have access to healthy food. It's what motivates us to open our church building to host community groups where 600 people per week can come and find healing and connection and support through AA groups and other support groups and community endeavors right inside of our own building. Well, under normal circumstances, like non-pandemic circumstances, you understand, but you get my point. And it's what motivates us to give to and partner with national agencies like BJC, formerly known as the Baptist Joint Committee, that's fighting for religious liberty for all people in a time when religious liberty is being denied to too many of our brothers and sisters who may or may not share our theological views or even have faith, but who deserve the dignity of worshiping God according to their conscience, enjoying faith and freedom in the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's what motivates us to send tens of thousands of dollars down the street and around the world to make sure that people have clean water and access to education and health care and having basic needs met, because God created all people in the divine image. And generosity, that's what we're wired up for. We've just forgotten about it, and we need each other to remind ourselves to have that spark of the divine that reminds us that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, the one who created the world, who generated the world, and didn't want to keep that goodness to God's self. You see, it's why I say to you, my brothers and sisters and friends, those of you who have been part of Pine Street Church for 50 years, and those of you who have been part of this church for 5 minutes, all of us who are positively blessed and inspired by the Pine Street Church community, for instance, are asked to make a financial commitment to help fully fund our 2021 ministry in life together. It's not just about giving to an institution. It's about being part of a movement sparked by Jesus that you and I can combine our resources and have such a beautiful community together that makes a difference, that transforms lives, including yours and including mine. And the fact remains is that when we all do our fair share about that and we combine our forces and resources, it makes the economic maxim true. The more we give, the more there is. And finally today, as I wrote to you this past week, the ancient symbol of the church was a ship being pounded by the waves of life's different circumstances and stresses. And our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep on course. My friends, we are embarked on a great adventure toward God, with God, into God, and Christ is our captain toward new horizons. And so as we look ahead to 2021, I give God great thanks for you. I give God deepest thanks for our life together. And so I would just say, let's look to that horizon of God's good future for us. Let's embrace it with a renewed sense of adventure and hope, because we need a church like ours at a time like this. It's a new time. It's a new era. And to summarize the psalmist's words earlier in this service, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Our idols are not silver and gold, the work of human hands. We have mouths, let us speak. We have eyes, let us see. We have ears, let us hear. We have noses, let us smell. We have hands, let us feel. We have feet, let us walk. We will bless the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Praise be to God, the generosity genius, the one who calls us to new horizons. And so I say, bon voyage and vaya con Dios. Let us go together with God. Amen. As we come to this time of litany and commitment on this Commitment Sunday 2020, I just want to say I'm grateful for all of the ways that our congregation, the way you give, not only of financial resources, but also in ways you give in labors of love, your time and your care and your talents, the ways that you invest in Pine Street Church and give of your gifts. I'm especially mindful today of our Leadership Council, which is the governing board of our church that has helped lead us through such an exceptional time in an exceptional way. It's a great team, and so I'm thankful to Stuart Lord, our moderator, Phil Gruber, our vice moderator, Tam Van Spriel, our secretary, Rick Vaughn, our treasurer, and our at-large members of the Leadership Council, Nancy Jacobs and Debbie Setlock. Thank you for your service. Thank you to our nurture team who always makes sure that There are folks in the inward circle of prayer who knows what's happening in the life of our church. I'm thankful to Carol Simpson and Mary Beth Mankin and Judy Rothy and Joanne Roberts Stacy and Sandy Ravenhorst and Barb Schuttenberg. They also double as the Oasis group on Thursdays. I'm thankful for our preschool committee led by Cindy Owens. And my goodness, they have had such challenges this year in supporting our preschool staff through the pandemic and helping our school navigate those challenges. So for Cindy and for Tam, for Rick, for Carol, thank you for your service this year. For small group leaders, short-term leaders, Bill Mankin, Becky Gruber, Debbie Setlock, Waverly Matthews. For our hospitality team, Judy and Joanne. Our Heart for Missions team that has helped us partner up with local communities to make sure that we have plenty of food for our neighbors, through Attention Homes, through Community Food Share. And so for Larry Van Spreel and for Jan Arney and Carol Simpson and Mary Beth Mankin and Debbie Setlock, thank you for being part of the Heart for Missions team this year. And for our nominating committee, Joanne Roberts Stacy and Bob Owens, Alexi Molden, Jane Gray, we are thankful for their leadership this year in filling as many leadership spots as we can through our new board governance structure. For Building and Grounds, Tom Fowler and Bob Owens and Alexi Molden, our new podcast team with Phil Norman and Alexi Molden and David Landua, and to this talented and extraordinary staff, for Ryan Connell and David Lamdur and Emily Lamdur, for Bethany and Star, our preschool team, preschool staff. I'm grateful for all of these folks and more because we cannot be the church without leaders. All of us is better than one of us, and so I'm thankful for each and all of these teams. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone or some team, and I'm sorry in advance about that, but I just wanted to raise up some of these core ministry teams and committees of our church, and to you for your prayers, for your care, for your investment in ways seen and unseen in the life of our church. It takes all of us doing our part, doing our fair share to be the incarnational presence of Christ in the world and to do that through this unique community. I just wanted to say thank you to all of these and more, and for the ways that you care. You send text messages and call and check in on one another. See how those Christians love one another was an early reputation that the church developed for itself. I think that's a pretty powerful legacy as we continue to pass on and care for each other and scoop others up into our community of compassion and our community of grace. So today I invite you, as we reflect upon all of the ways we give, certainly in giving ourselves to God, if we were gathered in person, we would make this time of commitment, stepping out and coming forward to the front of the sanctuary to offer our 2020 or 21 commitments financially, but also to say that we give all of ourselves, mind, heart, soul, and strength, to the God who made us and gives us these good gifts together. So now join me in this litany of invitation and commitment, would you? It is based on our New Testament reading, by the way, 2 Corinthians 8. In this world of suffering and poverty, hunger and thirst, violence and tragedy, where often we are overwhelmed and even apathetic, we recall the earliest followers of Jesus who, even in their own poverty, found something to give. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. There should not be relief for some and pressure for others. Rather, it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Nothing left over to the one with the most, nothing lacking to the one with the least. Let us be eager to give according to what we have, enough for all, so that everybody is in on God's abundant love. Thanks be to God, and amen. you for being part of Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition today on this unusual Commitment Sunday. But again, I'm so grateful for all of the ways we get to be church together in this new era, in this new time, and indeed as we set sail toward new horizons together for 2021. Again, you may submit your financial commitment card, your giving plan for 2021, by going to our website, pinestreetchurch.net/giving, and clicking on the pledge button. Or if you do have a physical commitment card, you might mail that into the church office at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your faithfulness and for your investment in Pine Street Church. As you go out into this day, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the power and the joy and the justice and the beauty and the generosity of God are forever at loose in the world through you. Go and live like it is true. Amen.